Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It is Monday of Christmas week, of course, so today and tomorrow it's a little bit different. We're not doing any of the serious stuff unless something major pops up. It's an opportunity to showcase some amazing local talent, give away some great prizes and all that type of stuff as well. So stay tuned for that. I'll tell you that Nevin McGuire is going to be coming on very, very shortly. So if you are looking for any last-minute advice for Christmas meal preparation, get in touch with us, 086 60 25000. So if you have any questions for Nevin McGuire, get in touch with us and we'll get those answered for you. Queer characters, them two boys there, Greg. Jack is a future politician, I reckon. That comes in from Stevie. Yeah, indeed. Two great lads, and you could chat to them all day. Huge well done to the Odysseys and Gemma for performing live on radio this morning. You are all a bunch of absolute superstars. Lovely hearing the young voices spreading Christmas cheer on Christmas Eve. So proud of you all. That comes in from Trudy, our own Trudy, of course, who is the guiding hand for an awful lot of the young talent in that school as well. Right, okay, so we are running through your favourite Christmas songs over the course of this morning as well. So we've got number 5 done, we've got number 4 done, and we've got 3 more to go, so stay tuned for that. If you want to get involved in winning a great prize today, there's a couple of ways you can do so. We'd love to hear your Christmas stories, or come on air and have a chat with us. Maybe you're home for Christmas, maybe you work abroad, you want to say hello to some people, we might be able to organise a wee prize for you. And we also have a quiz ongoing as well, 086 60 25000, if you want to take part in the quiz. We've got a €50 voucher for Shop LK, a €50 voucher for O'Donnell's Fuels, Crawley, Illestrin and Kilmacrennan. So you're invited to stay cosy in a click with O'Donnellfuels.ie, your local heating oil supplier. We've got a €50 voucher for McGurk's Golf in Letterkenny. There's always, or very often, a golfer in the house. So if you want to win that, get in touch with us. You can enter our quiz. €50 voucher for Joe McGee's Butchers in Letterkenny Shopping Centre, and a €50 voucher for McGee's Pharmacy, Letterkenny. So lots of stuff to be won there. I'm going to take a break, but I just want to let you know as well that coming up in just over an hour, we are going to be giving away a beautiful car worth over €30,000. Yes, indeed, it is the final draw of our brilliant Christmas car giveaway here in Highland Radio. We've already given away €10,000, 10 daily cash winners, each collecting €1,000. And now it's the big one. You can still enter if you want to. A ticket is €15, but obviously only buy one if you can afford it and have a bit of fun with it. It could be you. The winning number may not even be in that Trimboli yet. We don't know. It's random. And it is a physical draw too, by the way, so you're able to watch the draw taking place as well. So if you wanted to buy a ticket, now's the time. If you want to, you only have about 50 minutes left to do so. 07491 25000. It's €15 for a ticket. You could win a car by 11:30, or you can get 5 for €50 as well. And that's it then. So at about 11 o'clock, the lines will close. That's the end of it. So go on our website, highlandradio.com. Who's to say it might be you? Or give us a call here on 07491 25000. You've got 50 minutes to win a car for worth over €30,000 for as little as a tenner. Nikki says, well done, boys. Mulroy College, I mentioned that request there. Dolores, a regular watcher of the show. Good morning, Greg, and all your team. I love driving home for Christmas. Beth is there throughout the year as well. Beth, good morning to you, and I'll pass on your good wishes. Charlie, good morning. Good Monday morning to everyone. The four boys will be tops. Another 5 years together. Good luck to them. And Kathy and Nicola are there as well. Right. We are going to maybe sort out your Christmas cooking problems with Top Chef Nevin McGuire. But first, we'll take a break. Good luck if you're... No, there's no bingo today, actually. There's no bingo this week, is there? We're joined on the program now by Chef Nevin McGuire. Happy Christmas, Nevin. Good morning to you.
Happy Christmas, Greg, and to all your listeners. How are you?
I am doing good. Are you open for business this week, or is it downtime now for the staff and yourself? Or
we actually closed up Saturday. That was our last service, and we're closed until the 8th of January, which is a great break for all the team.
100%. And and everyone will come back then fired up, won't they, for 2025?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way to do it. Do you enjoy Christmas? I know you do. written all over your face.
I think it's a great time. We've never opened the restaurant, and it's a lovely kind of a family time. I'm talking to you from my house. I'm going to have a big crowd here. I'm cooking for 40 people, but I'll have 25 here Christmas Day. And you're looking at me saying, you man.
Why would you do? We've just been talking about you taking Christmas off. That's almost a full seating.
Well,
full service.
You have to be organised, but I'm a great man at delegating. So the twins are going to help me today. Today is my big day. I'm doing goose and I'm doing lovely buttermilk prime turkey. So I'll be well organised. But I do enjoy it, and you can get very stressed out. I'll just keep it nice and simple and good fun and lovely food.
Yeah, why is that, do you think, Nevin? That, you know, we cook all year round. I mean, obviously, you're a professional chef, but the rest of us, we batter away in the kitchen, don't we? And we do our best. And you know, we manage to feed people 7 or 8 times a day. And that's just in the... a week, and that's just in the evenings. But one meal on Christmas Day, people get up to high dough about it.
I always say that, like, you know, the turkey is like a big chicken. It just takes longer to cook. You want it lovely and moist and succulent. Lots of lovely butter and bacon. And, you know, you don't want to give too much choice. You know, a couple of nice vegetables, 1 or 2 potatoes is more than enough. Just be organized. Do the prep today, tomorrow. If you're off, like I'm lucky, I can do a lot of it today and tomorrow. And delegate. Don't be afraid to ask people, you know, if it's family or friends to help out. Maybe someone could bring a dessert, or someone could do maybe a little starter. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that is the key, that you enjoy the moment and the day and Christmas with your family and friends or whoever you're going to have it with.
Yeah. And is there just a simple thing with turkeys? Because, you know, what is it, 20 minutes per kilogram or pound or whatever it is?
That's
I'll probably check that before Christmas Day. Just
plus
to be on the
20 minutes, and it's got to be over 75 degrees cooked. Like, I haven't cooked a full turkey in years, Greg, to be honest with
you. You're a crown man, aren't you? Are you?
Yeah, I am. And it's the breast I use, and I have 2 breasts in buttermilk at the minute. So I cover it in buttermilk for 2 days, and I have some sliced orange, and I have a little bit of garlic and some rosemary. And it's just a lovely way. It's an American technique that I saw, and then you lift it out of the buttermilk, and then I've dried it off, and I'm just after making a lovely harissa butter. I know you love your spices, so some butter, a little bit of harissa, some orange zest, a little bit of fresh thyme, parsley, all over the breast of turkey, bacon, into the oven. That'll be done in about an hour, and maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, so it is, because it's about maybe 2 hours it'll take probably. And I'll have it lovely and golden brown. It's easy to slice, and it's easy, quick to cook, and it just works for me.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned a good thing there, in that it's a big chicken, isn't it? You know, we're afraid we're going to kill everyone with food poisoning or what have you. But these heat thermometers, internal thermometers, whatever the correct terminology for them, they're widely available now. And if you have any doubts at all, that just eases you any concerns you have. You don't want to overdo it. I think what happens is we tend to overdo it and dry it out just to be on the safe side, because we're trying to avoid that Christmas disaster or something.
Yeah, because it's a very lean meat. And what happens if you don't have one of those? Don't panic either. If you're doing the full turkey, you go to the thickest part of the leg. And my mother always taught me, like a chicken, if the juices run clear, it's cooked. And remember, when it comes out of the oven, it's going to continue to cook. So you double wrap it in foil, and then you wrap it in a kind of like a clean tea towel. And because then you can glaze your ham and put in your vegetables, because it's a bit of juggling. Even myself here, when I'm cooking, I'm going to 25 people here, it's going to be a wee bit of juggling too. I have 2 ovens, thankfully, so you have to be just think like that, and don't be stressed over. Keep basting the turkey. Like you said, it's very lean, it can dry out. So what does that mean? A little bit of water in the tray, or you can use stock, some vegetables, spoon over those lovely juices over the breast of turkey and the legs, and cover it for the first hour, and lovely bacon, and then you can use the bacon and the sprouts, so there's no waste.
Yeah. Do you stuff the turkey? I know you say you use a crown and you cook the breasts separately in your own Wayne Evan, but for those cooking the whole, because I think a lot of people look for the legs as well, so they say stuff, not cook the whole thing, right? Do you stuff the turkey? Put anything inside it?
In the cavity of the centre of the bird, I would just put some orange and a little bit of garlic and even some onion and thyme. The neck of the turkey, just at the back, you could definitely stuff that, and with your lovely stuffing that you can have made today or tomorrow, and just get that in, and that'll keep it lovely and moist and succulent. As I say, I haven't cooked a full turkey in years, and it suits me, but there is people that do love the leg meat, and... Mm. Don't get me wrong, I love the leg meat too, but it just works for me. So
I gave Ashley she took over the role of cooking the turkey last year, and decided it would be a good idea to cook the giblets in the bag in the turkey. I'm just wondering, would that be something you'd recommend? Is that common practice, Nevin?
Definitely not. Keep the giblets, poor Ashley. Keep the giblets for your nice stock so you can. You've been a bit hard there, bless her.
This is live. I was just chatting. Okay.
You're a monkey.
Hey, come here. What a year it's been for you. We'll talk a little bit more about Christmas dinners and what have you, but it's been another cracking year for you, Nevin, and your book, Eat at Home, is great. I've got a load of your books, and I had this one too because we talked about that in the past. And what it is about, it's because I enjoy cooking, but it's like I don't eat certain foods. I don't eat, but I would cook them because I enjoy watching people eat them. And the boys be annoyed with me going, what's it like? How does it taste? You know what I mean? But that's where I derive my pleasure. But that this book in particular is about making sort of restaurant-style food, fancy food, really, in layman's terms, but making it at home.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the whole idea, we were thinking about it, Greg, because what are we going to do for the new book? So one of my most popular classes in the cookery school is Cook Over Family and Friends and Entertain and Made Easy. So that's where the idea came about. And it's the most popular class in the school. So a lot more people are cooking at home and entertaining, whether it's for family and friends or a nice romantic dinner or whatever it is. But the book is very different to my other books. I feel very lucky, and thanks to Kill Books. But it's broken down in chapters. So you have kind of small plates, large plates, platters, side dishes, and then you have your desserts. So people always get nervous. It's restaurant style food. It actually isn't. It's kind of like entertaining. And when I entertain, obviously Christmas is the big day, but around the festive season, there's lots of beautiful, lovely recipes, whether it's a simple kind of like a lasagna using a casserole cut called feather blade, which you kind of slow cook it and you kind of fork it out like shredded beef. And then you put in lovely tomato sauce with that and pasta. And that can be done lovely with a lovely salad, some peas, and a simple dessert. Like, entertaining is about enjoying the time with your family and friends, being a little bit organized. There's lots of recipes that you can throw together very quickly, and then there's lots of recipes like Christmas that you can make ahead. Yeah. And that is the key, because you want to enjoy it and be organized and just enjoy the whole good food experience.
Yeah, and it's nice when the person cooking can sit with everybody else and enjoy the food, isn't it? Because I remember going back in years, you know, like mom would be running around like a headless chicken or turkey, and you know, you'd say, I wish you could just sit down and enjoy it with us. And the one thing too about that I've noted, particularly with your stuff too, Nevin, in cookbooks, including Eat Out at Home with Nevin Maguire, is its accessibility. I remember back in the day, I'd look through books and I was like, well, where will I get that? Or that's, I don't live in a city and I can't buy that stuff. You know, but now we live in an age where I think we've got more awareness of ingredients, but more accessibility to it as well. And this stuff is, you know, you either have it in your house or it's handy to pick up.
You have hit the nail on the head. I think the Irish palate has changed an awful lot. Like, I'm 51 now since I started cooking. Like, food has changed so much. The availability of ingredients. We still have some of the best produce in the world. Our meat, our dairy, you know, our fish, you know. We're very, very, very lucky. But I think people have embraced spices and different cuisines. There's lots of interest. And like, I have a lovely kind of a Greek style kind of mince recipe in that, for like, it's like a macaroni kind of cheese, but it's kind of done with cinnamon and red wine and oregano, which has beautiful flavors. But it definitely has got easier to get a lot of different ingredients. And the whole thing, Greg, is just, you know, being organized and just experiment a little bit. And I suppose using the really good ingredients that we have, I think that is the key. And I think Irish people, we don't see ourselves as great cooks. I definitely think we've come on a long way. I definitely see it in the cookery school, the amount of people coming. It's now 50-50 men and women come to the cookery school. So that's definitely changed since COVID for me. And it's lovely to see that people have embraced food and different combinations and different spices and flavors, which is great to see.
This is someone after your own heart. I'm cooking a turkey crown for the first time. Any advice, Nevin?
Okay, turkey crowns. You put bacon over it, that lovely butter that I told you. Even if you don't have harissa, you could use a little bit of garlic butter, a little bit of lemon and orange zest over that, and then just some stock or water into the tray. If you have a little trivet, if you don't have a trivet, you can make your own parchment paper, some lovely vegetables. That's a little bit of red onion, celery, carrot leek. That's going to flavour your gravy. Put your turkey crown in that. And it's a great thing. Like, the turkey crown is so easy to cook, easy to carve, and it's a lovely, lovely, a little bit of bacon over that, which keeps it really, really moist. And then the butter is crucial too. Cover it for the first maybe 45-50 minutes, depending on the size of the crown, and then take the tin foil off. About 190 is a perfect temperature, and that's a fan oven. And then spoon over the juices, basting. That's so crucial.
Every time I use the oven, I have to check what the symbols mean. You know, there's one where there's stuff coming out the side and the grill's on and the oven's on. Then there's one where the grill's not on, the fan... Oh. But every time, I can't, it won't register in my head. Every single time I have to work out what the various symbols means. Could you ask Nevin why all chefs on TV never use foil when cooking turkeys? I always cover and remove the foil for the last half hour. Well, you've said already before my text came in, you're a foil man.
I use tin foil and I use it for the first hour. I'm doing Goose Greg and it's a lovely farm where I'm talking to you 5 minutes from here. It's a rich meat. So I'm slow roasting it for about 4.5 hours. I have it actually in the oven as I'm talking to you because I'm going to break it down today. So I am. And then I'm just reheating a Christmas day. I'll obviously store it in the fridge. But I'll cover all my meats for the first hour. I always do that in tin foil. It keeps it really moist, stops it from overcooking, and stops it from caramelizing or burning, for another word.
For sure. What is the best way to reheat either your turkey meat or your...
So tomorrow I'm going to be cooking my turkey. My ham is glazed. I cooked that yesterday, so I have that ready to go. I'm going to slice the ham. I have my stuffing made in the fridge. I'm going to slice a piece of stuffing and then the breast of the turkey. You can use a bit of the leg too. So you portion it. So imagine it's a layer, one layer of ham, stuffing, turkey, a little piece of butter, a little bit of stock on a tray with a tiny little bit of stock. Now, don't flood it. Mm-hmm. Just to keep it, and you steam heat it. You double wrap it in tin foil into the oven and it's reheated in about 20 minutes, Greg. Absolutely brilliant.
Sounds lovely. Any tips for a quick vol-au-vent sauce to use with leftover turkey and ham?
Oh, yes. The vol-au-vents, like, they've got very fashionable. And I think if you have the ham, you have the turkey, you can make up a lovely white sauce, a bechamel. So that's equal quantities of butter, pardon me, and flour. And then just pour in some full-fat milk. You can enrich it with cream. You can put in some lovely herbs, like basil works really well. A little bit of garlic in that, some sliced mushrooms. And then all you're doing is just reheating the turkey and the ham. Right. Over a
so that's that beautiful white cream. Sauce, that's pretty much that's all it. It is. Wow,
that's okay. It. You can put in mustard, you can put in pesto, but I'm a big believer, just let that speak for itself. Garlic is crucial, and then a lovely little bit of fresh basil would be just make it pop or parsley.
Because you don't want to overpower the meat you're putting in either, do you?
You're right. You are right.
How long do a pot boil potatoes before I roast them? I find mine are always still hard and I have to roast the life out. out of them.
That's actually a very good question. So what I do, if it's a big potato, I cut it in half. I cook it in boiling salt and water and I cook it for a good maybe 7 to 8 minutes. And then I drain it off and I bash it against the side of the saucepan. I'm going to do mine this year in some goose fat because I have goose fat or duck fat, garlic and rosemary. And it goes into the oven. I have the tray nice and hot and your hot oil. That's really important with your pre-cooked potatoes. When you bash them against the side of the sauce when you create texture, and then that goes into the oven. And it's going to take a good 40-45 minutes to get them beautiful and golden brown and crispy. Don't cover them and just keep spooning over or turning them maybe every 10-15 minutes so that they're coated in that beautiful hot oil. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
I read recently, and I wonder, is it true, that now I don't do oven chips really with air fryers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when it says turn the chips after 15 minutes or turn something in the oven, it was actually rotating the tray. Not actually turning them upside down.
Well, roast potatoes, that's very interesting. So if I was doing, say, you could do these actually, and you've said something good too, the roast potatoes would work really well in the air fryer. And what I would do, I would definitely turn them so they're evenly coated, but I'd use the tongs you've been using your fingers. So to me, turning means that...
They'd have physically turning
exactly,
them. All right.
Exactly.
I just thought these... is it... All right to cut the onions today and use them on Christmas Day. Is it okay to put them in the fridge?
Onions?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you need to be careful with onions because they'll smell. You could soften the onions with a little bit of butter in a Tupperware container, airtight, and of course it's perfect.
Yeah, they freeze quite well, onions, don't they?
Yeah, they do, actually. Yeah. They do. They get a little bit softer and take in a little bit of water, but they do. And cooked in a little bit of butter, they're gorgeous. Probably that person's talking about the stuffing.
How long can you keep leftover turkey for if I cook it on Christmas Eve? This is a good question. It's one that always bothers me. And I do wonder sometimes if I maybe, dispose of meat too early because it's a confidence thing like we were talking about overcooking the turkey earlier.
Greg, you're right. And with turkey, because it's so lean, so when you're finished the Christmas dinner, you might be very, very full and everything and a bit sleepy. But I would break down the turkey, whatever meat's left, in a Tupperware container into the fridge. That's really important. So it'll keep in the fridge for a couple of days or you can freeze it. Nothing wrong with freezing it. It preserves it. It'll keep it. Airtight container, a Tupperware or a little zip bag if you're stuck for space. But the key is after the Christmas dinner is keeping it in the fridge. I would say 2 to 3 days would be more than enough, to be honest with you.
I think so. Yeah, I never seem to get a good gravy and end up buying those water mixed ones. Any advice? Or maybe those water mixed ones are perfectly fine.
Well, you know what? Listen, to me, I've my gravy, what I did, and this is a really good tip for your listeners, I roasted off some chicken wings on a tray with some vegetables, and then for a good hour until they were brown, I covered them with some water, I covered them with some red wine and some thyme. So I have the base for my turkey done already with the chicken wings. And then what I'm going to do when the turkey is roasting, I'm going to strain off that, I'm going to add in a little bit of flour or thicken it with corn flour. What's beautiful in a gravy is red wine, or if you have a fortified wine called Madeira, Greg, it is a game changer. Mm. It's one of the nicest things with a beef roast gravy with a turkey. It's just so delicious. A little touch of Worcester sauce if you want that kind of savory element. And then my mother used to finish the gravy with a little bit of cream and fresh thyme. Mm-hmm. Just a splash, and it's just lovely and rich. But you're right, a good gravy makes or breaks the dinner.
Can you ask Nevin what can you use for a substitute for garlic, as I hate it and all recipes seem to use it? I mean, just leave it out, no?
I would agree with you. Just or you could use out. A bit of chilli, or you could use lovely fresh herbs. So if it's like a garlic butter, you could use some fresh thyme. You know, in the supermarkets now, you'll get sage, you'll get parsley, fresh thyme. In the one packet, they're so clever, because this is the time of year that you're making your stuffing and you're using lots of fresh herbs. So I would say just replace the garlic with some lovely fresh herbs.
And I also too wonder sometimes if our perception of a flavour is, say, for instance, you know, like a garlic bread. Because, when you incorporate garlic into a recipe and there's lots of other flavours there, you know, I think if you're coming out smelling of garlic, you've probably overdone the garlic, haven't you? You know what I mean? It's the subtle impact it has on a dish. Often you wouldn't even know it was there because it combines with other flavours.
It's one of those kind of beautiful ingredients. And I always think of my oldest brother, Kenneth, when my mother was making, you know, she'd be making a garlic, a kind of like a salt patty, actually. It was onion and garlic in the pan. And he used to say, "What's that awful smell? I don't like it." And now when he goes for dinner, he says, "Do you mind if I have extra garlic?" So it gives beautiful flavor. If you get lovely homegrown or Irish garlic, it's the king of garlic. And just a little bit of that crushed slice of whatever you want to, in a little bit of butter, it just adds so much flavor. So it does.
Yeah. Camille, before I let you go, I want to talk to you briefly about your Portuguese food trails, Nevin's Portuguese food trails, which I think is going to be very interesting, because I think the majority of people, if they go to a country like Portugal, for an example, they tend to go to Western, or whatever you might call it, English, Irish, Chinese, Indian restaurants. And I wonder how many of us go over there and actually, you know, eat the traditional foods that you find, you know, 2 miles back from the coast for a fraction of the price.
Yeah, Greg, it's one of my favourite countries, Portugal, and I've been very lucky. This is my third series. It's a very different programme. Hey, it's a new director, differently shot, and we started off north of Porto, Braga, worked our way right down the country. I think the viewers are in for a really, really interesting show. I watched the first episode last week with my wife and Mel, and I said, wow, this is very different. They're going to see a very different side to me. We go in, we meet the locals, even in a bakery. The lady has no English, but we'll be able to communicate. Just, it's a very, very beautiful country, gorgeous food. And I had something I never had in my life, Greg, to do this dish, to use every element of the pork. And then they make this rice dish and they finish it and they thicken it with fresh pork blood. I've never seen that in my life. It was rich. It was heavy. They love it there. It was quite strong, to be truthful with you. But it was something I said, wow, I think I know something about food, but I've seen something I've never seen before. And it's a speciality. Braga, that's for the first program. It'll be on the 8th of January. And I really, really hope, because it's a very popular destination, Greg, for Irish. For Irish visitors going to Portugal.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And lots of tips for future visits too, if people are lucky enough to be able to plan their holidays for 25. So it's live on RTE1 January 8th, 2025. But as many people watch stuff on demand now as they do live, such is the way things are, which is fantastic. Nevin, what age are your twins now?
Yeah, the twins are nearly 13 in February.
Right, so they're actually starting to become useful in the kitchen now. Yeah, no, I know you've had them in the kitchen from the get go, but that's a good age now, isn't it? You can really enjoy that experience with them.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be getting them to help me now today and tomorrow. They're going to be prepping the veg. We're going to be doing the desserts. And they're great because they like food. And as I said to you, Greg, at the start, the key is to delegate. And don't be afraid to ask for help, because that's what I'm certainly going to be doing.
Brilliant stuff. Well, have a happy Christmas,
you too.
And all of your family. Take care. Thanks so much, Nevin, and continued success into 2025.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
That's Chef Nevin Maguire there. with some, hopefully some inspiration for you. Who's to say? Right, what are we doing? We're going to be giving away some prizes soon. We're also counting through the top five most favourite Christmas songs. We've two or three to play of those. I think we still have some live music coming up on the programme as well between now and 12. That and so much more besides. Stay where you are. Now, good morning, Jackie. How are you keeping?
I'm doing very well, Greg, and you?
Happy Christmas to you. How are you keeping? You doing well?
I'm keeping very well. I'm doing great.
All right, okay. We were talking about our Christmas memories, and yours goes back almost four decades, Jackie.
It does indeed. It goes back 39 years ago. My daughter was born on December 22nd, and it was so magical and lovely and so much like the meaning of Christmas. They let me out. She was born on the 22nd and they let me home on Christmas Day. And it was such an amazing, amazing day. It was really like I was going home like with baby Jesus. All the neighbours had come in and celebrated this new baby and everything. So it was really, really lovely.
Very good. So and even though she was born on the 22nd, with getting home on the 25th, she is very much a Christmas Day baby.
She is. It was just total meaning of Christmas. The best ever. It was just like what Christmas is all about, baby and celebrating Jesus and stuff like that there. So, yeah, it felt really good. And I'll never forget it. I always remember it every Christmas.
Very good. And did she ever complain, given the fact that birthday was so close to Christmas Day and presents from family and then presents from Santa, or was she always happy enough that her birthday was at Christmas time?
No, she always did. It was always that kind of Christmas, but we always did it separately. But she always said she didn't get as much fuss as her other sister did.
It is kind of typical, but listen, that's just the way it is. Right, okay, yeah. That's lovely, Jackie. I want to give you a prize and I want you to pick it. So we've a voucher for McGee's Pharmacy, we've a voucher for John McGee Butchers in Letterkenny, a voucher for McGurk's Golf. I don't know if you play golf or anyone close to you does. There's a 50-euro voucher for O'Donnell's Fuels, or a 50-euro voucher for Shop LK, which means you can spend it kind of wherever you like in and around Letterkenny. So do you have any preference there, Jackie?
I will take the Shop LK. That would be lovely.
No problem, Jackie. Well, we'll get that to you. A happy Christmas to you and all of your family, and thanks for sharing your wonderful memories.
Oh, thank you very much. That's lovely. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Take care, Jackie. Thank you. Best wishes to everyone. Good morning to Susan. Hiya, Susan.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm just busy watching my friends, two wee boys.
Oh, very good. Fair play to you.
Jesse's 2.5 and Rossa is 13 months.
And you're on the phone and talking to me. You've got your inexperienced hand.
I'm sitting down here looking at me. Jesse might say hello to you. Hold on. Jesse, why don't you say hello? Come here.
Jesse!
Come on, say hello. Come here. Come here.
Say hello, Greg.
Hello, Jesse. Hello. How are you?
Tell him Santa's coming.
Santa's coming.
Oh, and what's Santa bringing?
A big digger.
Oh, wow.
Tell Greg a big digger.
A big digger.
Oh, wow.
No.
Yes, go ahead.
And tell Greg what you want to leave out for Santa.
A cookie.
Wow, all the plans are in place. Excellent stuff.
And a mince pie. And milk. And carrot.
No. And who's the carrot for,
bye-bye,
though?
Bye-bye,
who's
Greg.
The carrot for?
Bye-bye, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we don't.
Susan, I didn't think you'd speak.
No, yeah, exactly. I'll speak to anyone. Yeah. And
I didn't think he'd speak. I didn't think he'd speak to you, Greg.
All right, okay. And Mum's away for a few last Christmas bits, I take it?
No, she just, yes. And she asked me just what am I, and I said, I'll toss it away the last few bits and pieces.
What's your plans for Christmas Day, Susan? Are you cooking? Are you?
Well, I'm doing the turkey and ham, Greg. And right. My daughter Danielle, and she's doing the vegetables and the spuds and all.
Okay.
So I'm going over to Danielle for dinner. She usually comes here, but I'm going over to her this
Happy
year.
Happy days.
I'm bringing over the turkey and ham over with me, you know.
Brilliant stuff. Any tips on the turkey?
Any what? Tips?
Tips?
Just make sure you take the giblets and the bag out of it.
Susan, you're going to get me in bother.
Well, you got yourself in bother.
Yeah, all right. I didn't know anyone was listening. Come here, Susan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you a question because I'm just going to give you a prize because you're such a lovely lady.
Oh, thanks, Greg.
And
you're
helping out your friends as well. So €50 for O'Donnell's Fuels, €50 for McGurk's Golf, €50 for Joe McGee Butcher's in Letterkenny. I'm sure you've your ham and turkey already, but there's loads of other great stuff there. Or €50 from our friends at McGee's Pharmacy in Letterkenny.
Oh, McGee's Pharmacy. I'll treat myself, Greg. I'll treat myself, yes.
And
thanks, Greg. And it's a happy Christmas to you all yourself.
Happy Christmas to you and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If I'm still allowed back into the house after your crazy giblets comment. thanks so much. Well, great to chat to you. Go ahead.
And you too, Greg. God bless.
You.
And a happy Christmas to all the staff in Highland Radio.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, thanks, Susan. God bless you. All right, that's Susan there who has the €50 voucher. I don't have a pen. Are you taking note of this, Caroline? No? Okay, I'll remember to, but after that, I'm definitely going to have to start writing things down. Thanks, Caroline. We welcome onto the show Emer Quinn. Hi, Emer.
Hello, it's Greg Hughes on Highland Radio. I'm so delighted to be talking to you.
We can cut that for a promo. No, listen, thanks, Emer. It's lovely to have you on the show as well. Emer, I don't want to... Well, we can talk about the Eurovision Song Contest, but I want to focus on the new album and the new track. But I was looking... Caroline handed me the slip of paper here. I don't take much notes, but it just says, reminds me, 1996...
Yeah.
Doesn't seem possible. What's happened to my life? You don't look like you were even born in 1996. What's going on?
That's very kind. I don't know. I feel like I've lived it to the full so far anyway. But yeah, there's an awful lot left in this dog yet now to give.
Absolutely not.
It's a long time. 28 years. Can you believe that?
When you do something so significant and some time has passed, does it feel like a fresh memory or is it almost like a story you've been told over and over again?
I think there was a lot about it that feels very visceral and real to remember, but then there were loads of aspects of it that I had no recollection of whatsoever. In fact, it was only about a year or two ago somebody told me, oh, it must have been really great to sing with Morten Harkett in the green room during Eurovision. I said, I never sang with Morten Harkett. And they said, you did, look it up on YouTube. So I looked it up on YouTube and there I am singing Norwegian Wood with Morten Harkett with this glassy look in my eyes, you know, that it was a lot of it was a kind of out-of-body experience.
Well, when you think of what the adrenaline that must be running through the system and all manners of natural occurring chemicals, it's not a little bit surprising, is it really?
Yeah.
We're going to hear in a moment Auld Lang Syne from you. It's off your Winter Dreaming album. And I just note from the title, was it a conscious decision not to sort of necessarily release a Christmas album, but an album that would be very much enjoyed at Christmas, but one that really more or less covered a season?
That's actually completely what I had in mind, Greg, because I find that a lot of my audiences have been touring at Christmas time and through kind of November, December time for a long time now, since I first released a kind of collection of winter stuff in 2007. More and more, the audience, I think, first of all, is looking for kind of a secular way into the spirit of the season, but also the fact that it's all kicking off in November, really, you know. So the title track, Song of Winter Dreaming, I wrote, it's really a song of connectedness and looking for hope and trying to see the humanity in each other, trying to be positive in the chaos and the crazy, divisive world we live in. And so it's a hopeful song, and it's a way of finding, as I say, a way into the season of connectedness that it is for so many people. So I wanted to take music from wintertime, really from this kind of sense of we're heading into the winter, you know, or heading into something towards the solstice and the slowing down that we had there on Saturday night, and then towards the nativity, and then as you're going to play Auld Lang Syne, which is so lovely, towards the new year and on into the first footing and starting off into January time. And
yeah,
fresh
it does feel a little bit like a reset, doesn't it? Because we've had our shortest day, and albeit the first night extended by the day extended by 4 seconds, it extended by 4 seconds nonetheless. And we can use the first of January as an opportunity to say, right, things are going to be a little different for me this year. And also, too, it's been proven that we are, and this is not for everyone because we recognise some people are going through difficult times, but we are less pessimistic and more optimistic around about Christmas time. And we really need to try and bottle that and spread that out throughout the year, because we shouldn't have this fleeting moment of less cynicism and more optimism. We should hopefully feel like that all year round.
And also a matter of making space, because loneliness is a real thing, you know? And I mean, people can feel their loneliness so more acutely this time of year, but also people are more likely to reach out this time of year to those who are alone. So really the thing that will save us all is just to remember to connect to each other. Remember that we are connected. It's not a revelation, it's a memory, you know, and to remember that, and just you're kind of thinking someone's on the back of your mind, just appreciate them a wee text. You know, it makes all the difference in the world.
When you're compiling an album and you're putting songs together, I'm sure you have your favourites, and you might even say, right, you know, this song's going to work really well live. But at the end of the day, it's the audience decides that, isn't it?
Yeah,
and my understanding is Auld Lang Syne really has resonated with the live audience. Did that come as a surprise to you, or did you say, right, this is going to really work when I get out in front of people?
You know, when I recorded it, my husband listened to the whole album the whole way through, and he said, oh my gosh, Auld Lang Syne. He said, there's something about the way you've arranged that and just hearing it for the first time, you know. And I have gorgeous memories. I am from a very big family, and on my mother's side, the Sharkies and Swifts, she was one of 10, and 9 of them married and lots of them had kids. So I'm one of 26 grandchildren just on that side alone. And we all used to pile into a 2-bedroom house in Kimmage every Sunday to play and to see each other. And then on New Year's Eve, we'd all gather and do our party piece. And then at midnight, jump around and link arms in a circle and sing Auld Lang Syne. And so I have such precious memories of it. But I find with that poem of Robbie Burns that there's such a longing in it. You know, there's a reassurance. There's a huge reassurance in it, but there's a longing for those relationships. And so when I arranged it, I wanted to put it in that kind of very intimate way. And I suppose we bring our own emotion to these performances when we send them out there, you know. But next thing is people in the audience are all linking hands and we're all floods of tears. And it's a release, you know, it's beautiful.
Okay, well, listen, I want to leave enough time for us to hear it. Eimear, thanks so very much indeed. Any chance you're coming near the Northwest? Anything scheduled over the next wee while? Or
Nothing yet, but this is my first big tour in a long time. So I'm planning lots of concerts for the new year, and very much looking forward to getting up to the Northwest. I have family in Inishowen, sending them all my love, Redcastle, the Donnies. And yeah, I love getting to Donegal anytime. Like the rest of the country, we all love to go there. It's so beautiful. I'd like to wish all of your listeners a very peaceful and happy Christmas. Gorgeous Donegal Christmas to all of them. And yeah, please God, see you in 2025.
Okay, Eimear, a very happy Christmas to you and your family. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you so very much for your time. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Happy Christmas to you. Eimear Quinn there. And this is her take on the classic Auld Lang Syne.